the JT the Brick Show, broadcasting live from the Finley Cadillac Performance Studio, your silver and black home to sound off for over 25 years. And now, here's JT the Brick.
All right, everybody, welcome back. JT with you as we continue on hour number two of the show. Thursday night football. This is a big game tonight. You know, the Giants just beat the Cleveland Browns. So that was one of the games I had in my library. And what I do is Sunday all day with the Raiders, Sunday night on Mad Dog, a long day from 8 in the morning till 11 at night. I can't watch five football games for obvious reasons. So I take a couple of them, I throw them in the YouTube library and tape them and do that. And I went back and watched the entire Giants game against the Browns. First play, you know, a turnover on special teams. The Browns go up. It felt like the Browns were going to slaughter the Giants. And Deshaun Watson couldn't even move in the pocket. The Giants sacked him eight times. Now, the Giants have a very good defensive line. Very good. I mean, a matter of fact, when they're healthy, I think it's just as good. Leave it there. It's just as good as the Raiders. But the Raiders are banged up now. So if you look at what the Raiders are dealing with, the Raiders, if Max Crosby isn't at 100%, how good is the Raiders' defensive line? Without Malcolm Kuntz? And Max at whatever percent, I don't know. I know Christian Wilkins is a hell of a player. Hell of a player. Does John Jenkins live up to his hype? I think he's a good player. But the rest of the guys, I mean, how many guys did we draft around here the last 5 years? Malcolm Butler and all these other guys who were drafted to play defensive tackle who are gone. They were supposed to be developed over 5 years to be Pro Bowlers. Gone. So we're looking at this defensive line. I got a text today. Someone says, what's the status of Max? None of my business. They're not telling me the status of Max. Nor if I had it, I would give it to Cleveland. I'm not going to give it to Cleveland. What do you think? I'm going to come on the flagship show and say Max is good to go or Max isn't going to play? I just know that Max is a warrior, and so is Myles Garrett. So we were buried with interviews. I'm wide open for the next half hour. Let's hear from some Raider fans how to win the game. I specifically want to know from Raider fans, how do they just win? Because how many people called me a week ago, Bobby? 34-3 against Carolina. 44-17. Oh, my God. Did they really tell me that last week? And what was I saying? No, no, no. Andy Dalton's coming. The Red Rocket. I go, we're going to win, but we're not going to win by much. They got blown out. So I want to get the pulse of Raider Nation right now. I think the Raiders will win the game. But I thought they were going to beat Carolina, and they got blown out. And I think they'll beat Denver. They're better than Denver. But Denver looked really good beating Tampa Bay. And I'm not, am I the only guy not impressed with the Steelers? The Steelers' offense stinks. Stinks. So they're going to come in here and play good defense. Of course they are. Steelers are going to play hard, really hard. But then they shouldn't be able to run away from the Raiders with Justin Fields. Come on. These are Trevor Lawrence. They might think of benching him. He's on the Raiders' schedule. Miami doesn't get two until week eight. They look like they're in trouble. Cincinnati hasn't won a game. They're on the Raiders' schedule. If the Raiders get to 2-2, I got something to work with. 2-2 feels unbelievable. I got good action on that tweet. It said there was a woman rollerblading with a beautiful horse in a pasture and a beautiful dog running in. And it says, this is what beautiful is. And I said, that's the Raiders if they get to 2-2. If the Raiders get to 2-2 Sunday night, we have rainbows, unicorns, pots of gold. Oh, my God. If you can get me to Sunday night at about 6 p.m. when I take the headset off at the booth after the post-game show, go to my car to drive home, and I'm driving on the 215, driving back home, and the Raiders are 2-2. Oh, come on, God. Give me that. Please. I deserve it. I need it. Give me 2-2. Coming in next Monday, I could do a lot with 2-2. And we spoke to the coach, and the coach was good. I really appreciate him exclusively talking to me every week. And again, it was me and Bisaccia, me and Gruden, me and McDaniels, me and all of them. And I've interviewed them all, and all the coaches, all of them, I had a great relationship with because they felt comfortable talking to me. They took the tough questions like, hey, I opened up this last interview. You had strong words in the stadium. How did the players react? That's about all I can ask, because since that night, he answered that question 260 times, right? But we asked it to him. The issue becomes the coach is a motivational guy, okay? He's a highly motivated guy. And his job is to motivate the players coming out of the tunnel after they've been given a really good game plan all week. They got to execute the game plan, man. You're all over Luke Getsy. You're all over him when the... Okay, so what are you all over Luke Getsy for? Because he runs it up the middle? Fair criticism. You'll get that criticism all day long from me. But what happens if Luke Getsy comes out? They got to run the football. It's called football. They're not going to pass on every down. So what do you want them to do? Pitch the ball out to Zamir White? Yes. I just gave you something we could all use. No more running it up the middle. We can't do it. Let's pitch the ball out like college. Pitch it out to Zamir and have big Michael Mayer block down and have Devontae come across and crack the safety in the mouth. And then maybe Zamir misses one tackle, linebacker misses, and he's got a 30-yard gain. You really think Zamir White right now is going to break up the middle behind Andre James for 30 yards? Get through two defensive tackles and a middle linebacker? Maybe. Maybe this is the game he can do it. 702-365-9200. This show is not supposed to sound like July and August when we're deep in September. Wake up and match my energy. We got a game on Sunday. It's a must-win game. It's the closest thing I've ever seen in my life to a must-win week four game. Usually must-wins coming around week 8, 9, 12. We're in a must-win vibe. Let's get that in the Raider Nation, 702-365-9200. Hall of Famer Charles Woodson, he's all over the place. He's in Michigan. He's at Lambeau. He's at Allegiant Stadium. He's on the Fox lot in L.A. doing the Fox show on game day. He's in the parking lot. He's with the Black Hole. Have you ever seen a guy like Charles Woodson? Every time I look up, I'm on his Instagram, and I'm like, I didn't know Charles was in Vegas. Yeah, he's in Vegas. I didn't know Charles was on the sideline at his kid's game in Florida. He's everywhere, and he has a big business, Woodson Bourbon Whiskey, available at most Las Vegas grocery and fine liquor stores. Now, go online to WoodsonWhiskey.com, proud partner of our show here, and if it's not in your favorite bar, ask. We were in a bar the other day, one of the Raider executives over in Henderson, and I asked for it, not to have it, but I said, where is Woodson Bourbon Whiskey? We don't have it. I said, what are you talking about? Give me the number. I get the number, and I forward it to Charles's team. That's how we do it here. You want to get into the show? 702-365-9200. So a couple of more sound bites from Coach Pierce's press conference that he did with the media. He got into Deshaun Watson as a player. And this is pretty important here because I've always liked Deshaun Watson as an athlete. I mean, really, he's a top five quarterback when he came to Houston initially. Now he's not. He's been kind of damaged mentally. Will he bounce back?
Yeah, I mean, I'm not going to judge on how he's played, but I've seen some really good throws last week out there on the perimeter, both to Amari Cooper. The deep ball's there. Obviously, the ability to scramble, to run, to extend the plays, that's something we're going to have to work on again this week. No different than against like a Lamar Jackson type, a guy that can move in the pocket. But listen, he's played a lot of football, and when he's on, he's on. You saw that in Jacksonville. And then late in the game, obviously, against the Cowboys, you know, when they needed to come back and he was moving the ball and moving the chain. So he's somebody that's a threat. You got to respect the National Football League. At any given moment, he can make plays.
Yeah, he can't have a big game at Allegiant Stadium, or then there's a problem because the guy hasn't had a good game in a long time. I'm talking about a full game, four quarters. Kind of like the Raiders. Gardner Minshew hasn't had a four-quarter game. You can argue that Gardner Minshew hasn't had a good half. Right, he had a good quarter. I mean, can I get someone other than me to evaluate Gardner Minshew? I want Gardner Minshew to do well. Who's pulling for him more than me? Am I the only one demanding that he have a big game this Sunday? He's getting paid to have a great game, not to manage the game, not to play okay. Do you know how many good games Gardner Minshew played in his career? A lot of them in Jacksonville and Indy and in Philly. They weren't average games. They were good games. So he's got to have a big, big game. Gardner Minshew's got to be good. Now, Coach talked about Max Crosby's injuries and where he stands coming into this week.
I mean, we knew that going into last week. I mean, but at the end of the day, man, listen, Max gave us everything he has. He's done that each and every week since I've been here, as I watched when I was watching from afar. You can never – question, you know, his passion, his desire, and his will to win for the Raiders organization. That just needs to be matched amongst the rest of the team and the defense. And I think this is, you know, another week for a great opportunity for guys to step up with Max, and we'll see what happens.
You know, there's a few of the insiders. If you look at the insiders on social media, they're concerned about Max's availability. I don't know his availability yet. I wait for the injury report to come out. Max is the one guy that you just know doesn't have to practice. I mean, he helps the team by practicing, of course. I don't need to see Max practice on a Thursday or Friday at this stage. He's one of the best players in the league. He's got to stay off his ankle. He's got to get treatment. But as long as he plays on game day. And if he's not able to play because he just can't go, we love Max and we get behind Max and it's next man up. But hopefully he's good to go. This I thought was interesting, as Coach Pierce mentioned, practice. Last week they had a practice and they didn't play well. I think yesterday, Wednesday, they had a walkthrough. How do you balance out having a padded practice when you have guys who are injured?
I did. I said it, and everybody in the building felt it on Thursday, so I'm not going to go back against my words. It was. It really was. There wasn't no balls on the ground. It was clean execution. The speed was up, the tempo, the energy, the execution. We got the looks. There wasn't a lot of, like, draw up the play to make it work. We compete on Thursdays with our scout team, so there wasn't no gimmies. Friday was a good day. Saturday was a good day. Sunday was a bad day, you know. We got to hit on them.
Yeah, so this is where we stand coming into this game. So, again, this show is about as dead as it's been in the summer. I mean, it's dead today. Okay, I came in here to do a big-time show today, and I just feel like Raider Nation is asleep. So I'm going to do one thing the rest of the show. I'm going to get Q's audience, which is always there. I'm going to get them riled up so they're ready for Q. They're not ready for me today. This is like summertime radio. I should have did best of catches in Raider history today. I mean, Cleveland, there are more Cleveland fans in my chat today than Raider fans. We got to wake this place up, 702-365-9200. And then finally, when it comes to the back end of this defense, my level of concern is very high because Epps is out, and he's out. So with him, it's going to be Isaiah Palamal who's going to have to play, and I'm really confident in him. That's one player that I don't mind putting my neck out for and saying, even if he gets beat, or there's a play that if he misses a tackle, we interviewed him. We had him on in camp, and he was so excited to come on the radio and talk about his young career and what his goals are. So I can't wait. I hope I catch him in the pregame on the field, give him a fist bump if I can. I truly want him to have a big game. He's a ball hawk. He can get to the ball. Robert Spillane is playing at a very high level. And then I didn't call out, but I mentioned Jack Jones and Nate Hobbs. It'd be nice if one of them had a turnover. I'm talking about a turnover, a strip sack, rip the ball out, do something to get this team going. And I think they'll be able to do that. I'm very encouraged. I got a mean streak to me today because I'm frustrated because this team lost to Carolina, and it's been with me all week. But I'd like to turn it around and get a win against Cleveland, because a win against Cleveland is going to be amazing, unbelievably amazing. I will be at La Casa Cigars and Lounge at Tivoli Village tonight. I am confirmed. I need a beverage. I need a cigar. I need to watch the Giants beat the Cowboys, maybe. R&B singer Jackie Z tonight, who's incredible. Where else in town could you be outside Tivoli Village, have a cigar, have a beverage? They have all the beverages that we support. They have Modelo. They have Woodson Bourbon Whiskey. They have Remy Martin. They have Tito's. It's like a place. It's like a little heaven for me to go to with all of our proud partners there, which we're excited about. So that's where I'm going to be tonight. I'm going to have a nice cigar, see a couple of friends out there and watch the game. And the Cowboys are really in a rough spot here. If the Cowboys lose this game and go to 1-3, Jerry's going to have one hell of a post-game press conference. Mike in Jersey. What's going on, Mike? Thanks for waiting.
Hey, what's going on, JT? Great meeting you on Sunday at Allegiant. Couple of things. I look at Getsy, you know, and that was a Pierce hiring, and I know he was like a couple of steps down the pecking order. And I look at Minshew bringing in Minshew. I mean, my point is, what does that say about these guys? What does that say about Pierce and Telesco was coming to bringing in the right person?
Mark, you were asking me, Look, the organization made the decision to bring in the veteran Tom Telesco, which I support, who's really good in the draft, especially with high draft picks. And look, if you're going back to Cliff Kingsbury being available and the Raiders not wanting to go another year on that, that's a debatable topic. I mean, Cliff Kingsbury was in the discussion. They couldn't get the deal done. I think Getsy's here for a number of reasons, mostly because he kicked the Raiders' ass in Chicago right in front of me, which started getting Josh McDaniels fired. And then also on top of that, he worked with Devontae, and Devontae's a really important piece in the offense there, and Luke Getsy worked with him in Green Bay. That's why he was hired.
I mean, and then also to your question about Minshew, as far as it goes, you know, he's a mobile quarterback. You know, I think he's got to take off when he feels he has to. And I feel sometimes, you know, and correct me if I'm wrong, if he's the quarterback and they're calling a running play, or if he doesn't see it, he should just turn around and call what he feels comfortable with. You know, I mean, that's the job with a quarterback, to be the leader on the field. You know, if he doesn't like something, if he says, well, we're going to let's run here, and like, no, it's not working, let's do this, or let me take off, for crying out loud.
You know something, Mike, you nailed it. You nailed it. You're the first caller this week that has put something on Gardner Minshew's shoulders and said, will you just figure this out and go play the way you're supposed to play? Do you remember when Max came up to Gardner and pumped his chest and said, just play, we got your back? Well, what happened to that? What happened to that? Let's get Gardner Minshew back to that space where he's playing free and he's making plays.
And that's the thing with our quarterback situation in the past, too. We need a quarterback to say, you know what, the heck with you. I'm going to run this, you know, sort of like what Rich Gannon did with Gruden. Gruden would call play Gannon and be like, no, we ain't doing it. And they'd fight on the sidelines. I mean, it was heated. They both wanted to win. But we need a quarterback to turn around and say, if it's not working, the heck with it. I'm running this. I'm going to take off when I know there's pressure. He sat there in the pocket last week, and then on fourth and one, that one play where he got the 10 yards, and then fourth and one, you're supposed to go over the pile, not in it.
Yeah, I agree with you. Appreciate the call. The Raiders mentally, and it's going to change against Cleveland. The Raiders mentally really struggle on short yardage because they don't know who they are yet. They don't have Pete Banaszek. They don't have Marcus Allen. They don't have, you know, Zach Crockett. Remember Zach Crockett and John Ritchie? They don't. So they're really struggling to get the ball out and run a play. You know what I'd like to see this week? Something I've been calling on personally with this new regime. What's the play? When am I going to see the play that they run when they have to run it? Does anybody know what that play is yet? I don't know what it is. We don't know. Bobby and I don't know what the play is. Mine would be a fake handoff up the middle and a rollout and a quick, tiny throw to Michael Mayer, who's wide open. Can we call that JT the Brick XL2, which is fake handoff up the middle, Gardner boots out to the right, Michael Mayer peels off by himself, no one's on him, hit him in the chest, Mike goes down, first down. That'd be a play I'd run, because I think it's the strength of the team. We had a fake play action handoff up the middle to seal the linebackers. We had the quarterback move, and we just did a short little pass, pitch and catch to Big Mike, which he did at Notre Dame all the time and never dropped one. But for some reason, we give Mike the ball once, and we don't give him it for two more weeks. Two more weeks, we don't give Michael Mayer the ball. Every time they throw it to him, pretty much, he's open, he catches it, and then we wait 2 weeks to give him the ball again. Come on, man. Run fast. Get the play in. Run the plays that you're running in Henderson. Run them in Henderson until they work, and then run them at Allegiant Stadium. I guarantee you this team wins. They just start clicking because they got a really good offense. They got a lot of weapons. All right, I've been telling you about M-Ride, and I always like when people come up to me at the game and said, hey, JT, I M-Rided it. I go, great. Anything you could do for my buddy Teo Johnson, who's fantastic, great friend. It's the luxury concierge shuttle service. It's the same bus the players use. And you don't want to be dealing with going to these concerts at Allegiant Stadium and figuring it out at the last second. M-Ride It. Use the promo code BRICK, and you'll get the deal. That's mridelv.com, promo code BRICK, and you'll get the deal that my family gets and they go into the game on an M ride, and it's smooth, really nice, and it's the way to go. They go from Circa or the Palms to Allegiant Stadium or T-Mobile. No more hassle parking, sitting in traffic, or waiting in long taxi or rideshare lines. You just need M-Ride it, and you'll be all set. When we come back, we got Vince Sapienza, our morning show host, at the bottom of the hour. He's also a Golden Knights insider. Hockey's back, which I'm excited about that. And then we got a good night to watch Thursday Night Football. Remember, Thursday Night Football, Resorts World, is our official home. Monday and Thursday night at Resorts World. You park, you go right into the Doghouse Saloon. They got great food, drink specials. The sports book is there. You'll see it all at Resorts World, Doghouse Saloon.
On game day, right, if you think about it, come Saturday, you're just putting those little final touches on it as a coaching staff. You give it to players. You got a meeting for about an hour and a half that night. The hay's in the barn, right? It's the players go play and the coaches, you know, make the calls and make the adjustments. I think like all of us, I felt that game after the first drive. Like this is not how we expected it, and it was a little shock, and I think it shocked all of us. And then the thing that I talked about, just the way we responded, wasn't up to par.
Yeah, I think over the last 3 years or so.
Yeah, trying not to make predictions on how we go throughout the week. If I told you the truth, Baltimore was a bad week. So I would have said, oh, that ain't a good game, but I can't say that, you know. So I'm not going to go this way either way. So listen, man, my thing is make sure I do a better job of delivering the message Saturday night and then Sunday before the team goes on the field of what we need to do and how we need to play and the style of play to execute for 60 minutes.
God, that's an awesome soundbite. He just took you behind the scenes. Save that. Please save that soundbite. He's basically telling you what he does. You got a plan, players, I'm going to get them fired up in the locker room in the tunnel, and then you got to go play. And the coach is admitting that after that first drive, he saw something completely different with this team. Uh-oh. The coach saw it. Did you see his body language? Did you see his press conference after the game? It made national news when he said some players made business decisions. That was one of the biggest topics this week, and the NFL doesn't cover the Raiders. They just don't even bother covering the Raiders. I was watching something on SportsCenter the other night, and they went around the league with all those comments. They didn't even put a comment from Antonio Pierce in all the 12 little bites they had. I'm like, man, they don't even think enough of the Raiders to put him in their, you know, highlight package of commentary. Like, that was strong comments from Antonio Pierce. I give him a lot of credit for that. That's a really important, debatable topic with Raider Nation. Do you want a coach that keeps everything in-house and private and quiet, or do you want a coach that has emotion and tells you things and what's happening with the team? I choose the latter. I love the fact that this coach lets us know what he thinks. Other people don't agree, and that's why we have a talk show. We can debate that. 702-365-9200. Q is coming up here at the top of the hour. And around the league, you know, doing a national show a couple nights a week, I can just tell you that fans around the country are freaking out with their football teams at a level, and it happens every year, but not at this level. Something happened this year, and we don't know exactly what it is. But the standings are just crazy to see how many teams. I mean, who's playing elite football right now? Buffalo is probably playing as good as anybody in the league. They're 3-0. Buffalo's playing at a very high level. Then you take a look at the Jets, who are 2-1. If the Jets win another game, which they should coming up, they're 3-1. And the problems that the Patriots and the Dolphins have, the Jets are off to the playoffs. They're like thinking playoffs. The Steelers are 3-0. In the AFC North, but they've only scored 51 points. Buffalo scored 112. But the defense for the Steelers has been amazing. Then you got the Ravens and the Browns, and the Raiders are playing the Browns at 1-2, and Cincinnati's 0-3. I think the biggest shock in the entire NFL is Cincinnati's 0-3. In the AFC South, the Texans seem to be the best team, and they got smoked. They got smoked. They're 2-1. You got the Colts at 1-2, and Jacksonville and Tennessee are both 0-3. And then in the AFC West, we have the Chiefs at 3-0, which, God, they shouldn't be 3-0. A little help from the refs. They're winning tight games. They're the Chiefs. You know how good they are. Raiders and Broncos 1-2, and the Chargers 2-1. Fortunately, the Chargers lost, because if the Chargers were sitting there, We were talking the Chargers at 3-0. That'd be a problem. Vince Sapienza joins us from our new morning show, and he's also an insider for the Raiders, the Golden Knights, covers everything in town. So how'd you guys react this morning and all week long with Clay and Vinny? What's the temperature of Raider Nation in Morning Drive?
Well, I was the first to apologize Monday morning because I planted the flag. I didn't think it was just going to be a win. I thought it was going to be a decisive win on week three. I thought it was going to be a franchise evolution type win in terms of turning the page on past scars of Raiders losses in improbability. I was wrong. The Raiders aren't there yet. They haven't made it that far yet, and they proved it week three in front of an absolutely insane Raider Nation crowd at Allegiant Stadium. That being said, all is not lost. There's plenty of time. It's only week three of the season, and, you know, we have one caller this morning start by saying, what a season. And it's already felt like a couple months into the season, but we're only three games. And, you know, Lincoln Kennedy, the great Lincoln Kennedy, JT, as you know, put it in perspective perfectly, I think, on our show this morning, saying, you know, if you would have said that the Raiders were 2-2 at the start of the season, you probably would have taken it. And I'll be 100% honest, those were the exact words I used before the season. I said, if they can get out of the first quarter of the season 2-2, I think it's a pretty good start for this team who's looking to ascend. And the Raiders have that in front of them here at Allegiant Stadium against Cleveland Browns team that, if we're being perfectly honest, is almost a mirror image of this Raiders team right now. An offensive line that's kind of in shambles, a star defensive end that is not 100%, and a quarterback where you don't know what you're going to get play in and play out. So I think it's there for the taking. I don't think 2-2 is all that bad when you consider what this team has looked like on the whole 3 weeks into it. Mm-hmm. So what an opportunity that presents for Antonio Pierce and his team.
Man, that was really good. Vince Sapienza is our new morning show host with Clay Baker and Vinny Bonsignor. That's the type of content you get. And I agree with you. 2-2 is fine, but not historically for the Raiders. We never can fall into the trap being around this organization that 2-2 is acceptable to Mark Davis. He wants to win a championship. We all know that. But in this scenario, by Sunday afternoon, Sunday night, 2-2 really puts them in a good spot to get healthier going into Denver, and the schedule looks more manageable than it looked in the summer when we thought Jacksonville and Cincinnati and Miami and a lot of these teams would have ran away and hid from the Raiders. So you got to look at it going into this game that way. And the fact that Cleveland's is banged up, their injury report has them decimated on the offensive line. That's supposed to be a strength for the Raiders, their defensive line. But without Malcolm Kuntz and Max not being at 100%, maybe it's a push. I don't know.
Yeah, and you know that, you know, 2 weeks ago I would have said whoever gets after the quarterback most in terms of defensive lines in this game in particular, I would say it was probably the one who wins. Now, after everything I'm looking at, it's whichever offensive line can hold up, because as much as we're Myles Garrett and Max Crosby are going to take the headlines of what this game will be and the overall topics, these offensive lines are really going to dictate the outcome of the game on Sunday. I mean, Antonio Pierce has talked about ad nauseum in terms of the identity of this team starts with running the ball. Well, we haven't seen it yet. And the Cleveland Browns haven't been able to block anything just as well or lack thereof. So, you know, it's whoever can get their offensive line together and on the same page quicker. And that's what I think is going to dictate the outcome of this game. You know, the Raiders offensive line has not given us a lot to sit there and say, hey, it's on the up and up. I mean, 2 weeks ago in Baltimore, they had 4 yards rushing in the first half. I mean, just the complete polar opposite of everything Antonio Pierce has preached during training camp and the offseason and everything like that. We just haven't seen it. Again, that being said, it's another week that Colton Miller is getting more reps. Jackson Powers Johnson looked good, graded well in his rotation spots against Carolina in week three. So, you know, DJ Glaze, we'll see what Thayer Mumford's availability is come Sunday. But DJ Glaze, the moment was not too big for him. And I think that says a lot for an offensive line that's looking for a spark, looking for somebody to do something. And at the end of the day, JT, I know the offensive line has been a big topic of discussion, at least on our show. But at the end of the day, everybody's like, should we go to, from zone blocking back to power? And what's wrong with Zamir? At the end of the day, it starts with a mentality. Beating the guy across from you, can you do it on a consistent basis? Because we can talk about the total yards and where they rank in the NFL, but what we've seen in the last few weeks, second and short, third and short, fourth and inches, the Raiders aren't getting the push. They cannot move the ball 6 inches right now. So at the end of the day, it becomes a choice. It's a mentality. Can you push the other guy across the field? Mm-hmm. And we'll see what happens on Sunday, but that's the big question for me.
Yeah, Vince Sapienza is our guest. My big pet peeve, and it's no one's fault, no player, is that when the Raiders do have a second down, say it's second and seven, and they gain six mm-hmm. yards instead of seven, I go, oh, my yeah. God, they just needed another yard and it's first down again. The ability, it's a big topic for me, is that you got to get first downs on second down. This mm-hmm. team, going back to Josh McDaniels, who was a wizard in regards to calling plays, but it didn't work here. What happens to me is that when I look at third and short, the team gets really tight. It's not an easy opportunity for them to pick up an easy first down. So I think on second down, if it's second and long, second and nine, second and seven, please throw it past the marker. Get a flag so they give you an automatic first down, or catch the ball past the marker so it's not third and short. I can't believe how many times they're in a really short down situation, and then clock is ticking. Defense is setting their defense. Defense is stacking the front of their defensive line because they're anticipating a run up the middle, and everything just gets smaller and tighter for the Raiders to get a first down.
Yeah, and all that comes down to execution. Luke Getsy talked about it today mm-hmm. and was asked that very question. You know, how do you fix that? And he says it's execution. It's mm-hmm. Gardner getting the ball out on time, not holding on to it or not being impatient and letting the route develop. You know, that's why he's got those legs to move. You know, everyone says, is he a running quarterback? He's not a running quarterback, but he can move. He can move out of the pocket. Use that. Use that gunslinger-type mentality, buy time, or get the ball out when you need to. You know, I really want to see Michael Mayer involved in this offense more. We talked about 12 personnel up and down and left and right all during summer about how the two tight end set was just going to be a point of positivity. And as good as Brock Bowers has looked, I mean, Michael Mayer, there's opportunity there. Mm-hmm. There's opportunity underneath to get him the ball, get him in open space. So, you know, less predictability on first down maybe. You know, because some of the best plays this Raiders offense has put together in 3 weeks have come off play-action plays. And what does that say about a team that has not been able to run the ball effectively, yet they're still finding success with their play-action fake? Let's get a little less predictable on first down, run the play-action, get Gardner where he's comfortable, moving out of the pocket. He's a shorter quarterback, so being able to find his passing lanes through the offensive linemen. I mean, you know, work with who you got. So I think a lot of that's going to be on Luke Getsy getting creative and becoming less predictable. But to your point, it's about guys getting to the sticks, not running a 4-yard button hook when you're down. It's second and six. Don't live to play for a third down. Let them get that first down now.
Wow, you're Mr. Radio guy now, Mr. TV. So I got a couple of minutes left here quickly. UNLV football. So it's a big topic.
Yeah.
Look, if you're going to have a quarterback on your team, he better be paid. You better know how much he's getting paid. The kid better know how much he's getting. His mom and dad should know, and it should be on the cover of the Las Vegas Review-Journal. Our quarterback blank makes this much money. I guess that wasn't vetted here. Now we got a situation. I'm not saying who's right or who's wrong here, but the kid walked away from the team. And now it's the lead story on SportsCenter. They're talking about it on the Today Show in New York. Now UNLV's front and center all over the country.
Absolute disaster. An absolute disaster. Here's a season and a month in college football where for the first time in forever, the UNLV faithful, the Rebels, the Scarlet and Gray, can celebrate not only an undefeated start, but the first top 25 ranking in program history, getting set to open conference play at home at Allegiant Stadium against a team that they have something to prove against in Fresno State. I mean, what we should be talking about, hey, can this team get to 4-0 and then get set for a colossal clash with the Boise State Broncos and make a run at this college football playoff? But no, instead, someone misstepped somewhere. Someone spoke out of turn somewhere. Someone didn't dot an I, didn't sign something, and now you have not just, you know, the biggest story for UNLV, but for college football. Look at the ripple effect, JT, that it has created. Now all of a sudden, kids that are sitting there saying, wait, what is that rule on a red shirt? Oh, I'm not getting playing time? Oh, well, you know what? I'm done now. I'm going to go, you know, see if I can make more money elsewhere. Take a redshirt year, because now all of a sudden, I don't think people realize, or these kids or these agents understood, we're three games in. You can play three games and then take a redshirt and then live to play another day and get paid again. So the opportunity, you talk about the Wild West college football right now. UNLV has whether their own fault or through the fault of this agent or this kid just trying to get a bigger payday, there's still a lot to be learned from this story. Mm-hmm. But my biggest takeaway is the ripple effect that it's having. You have a kid in Michigan now who's going to take a redshirt year, a kid at USC who's going to do it, and another kid on the UNLV program, because he's not getting enough reps, is going to take a redshirt year and try his luck somewhere else.
I just can't believe how NIL, and I think it's important players get paid when D1's making so much off of television, but to change their mind, to have so many vague reasons for a player to quit midseason, or a coach going behind another coach saying, hey, the head coach thinks you're worth this, I'll give you more. It's the wild, wild west. Vince, I'll see you hopefully before, but I'll catch you in the press box, and appreciate you coming on as you always do. Good luck with the show.
Thanks, JT. Appreciate you.
You got it. That is Vince Sapienza, and his appearance is brought to us by Raisin Cane's Chicken Fingers. They use premium chicken breast tenderloins to make the most tender chicken fingers possible. Cane's, a special marinade, tenderizes the chicken. It's incredible. It's that good. That's why Raisin Cane's Chicken Fingers are the best chicken fingers you'll ever have. I love the coleslaw. The drinks are amazing. Cane's tea is freshly brewed, and it's I usually get the lemonade. I like the tea, but you can get them both, man. People are in there all the time. Whenever I go into a Cane's, everybody's happy. Everybody enjoys it. Everybody goes back. Raisin Cane's Chicken Fingers, proud partner of UNLV. And they got to be happy, because UNLV's in the news. They're playing really good football as of late, and they're proud partner of Raider Nation Radio. So, Bobby, I got up today. I got in the pool. So my wife goes, you got in the pool today? I go, you better believe I got in the pool. What do you think we have one for? The weather's great. So even my Dana Wagner, my big buddy, put it out there. You know, it's currently 99 degrees right now, and it feels like it's 82. So we had a really rough summer. We had the most ever 115-plus days ever. So let's remember, it was crazy. So I just clicked on my phone, and it says we are currently in an excessive heat warning in Vegas. So today, high of 100. Friday, high of 101. Saturday, high of 103. And game day, a high of 102. Bobby, I thought we were past all this.
We usually, the latest it ever gets to 100 is usually like the first week of October. That's about where that sort of thing ends. But let me tell you something. 6 weeks ago, you'd have been begging for 102 day.
I know. It's incredible. I love it. I call this perfect. People are crazy. It's 100 degrees. No, it doesn't feel like 100. We don't have humidity. We don't have bugs. At least I hope you don't have bugs. We don't have. I got a bug guy that comes by my house once a month telling me what I could have there. So he put up some scorpion traps the other day. Knock wood, we've been fortunate. Got the dog. Don't want any scorpion. So he goes, I'm putting some. Wait a second. Have you seen scorpions? He goes, no. But they're in the hood. They're in the neighborhood. They're on the mean streets of Summerlin. These scorpions are running around lately, so I always tell people, if you leave your shoes outside, some people don't. Got to check them. Got to shake them before you put them on. Man, I love living out here, man. I do. Favorite people always ask me. I lived in San Diego, San Francisco, L.A. for 10 years. I'm from New York. Where's my favorite place to live? Vegas. I used to say because the weather and the traffic. Oh, but those cones are coming. If you get into an accident with all these crazy drivers out there, Alex and Orlando de Castaverde. The DeCastaverde Law Group, they're the best. The brothers win. The brothers have your back. 702-222-9999.
in the first half, you know, it's one of those ones where the game went the way it went, so it felt worse than it was. You watched the film, and you felt a little bit better about that, the way the first half game. We got to continue to get better in the run game. We know that. These 2-3 yard runs, they need to turn into 7-8 yard runs, and we know that. We're capable of it. We know that it's right there. And I think as far as evaluating the second half, you know, when you're in that catch-up mode, it turns the game a little bit differently. So now you're kind of like not in the normal football anymore. So we've had too much practice at that. We're ready to get this thing out in front of it and, you know, control the clock, whether that's run, whether that's completions, and then Gardner's a big part of that. We put a lot on his plate. He can handle all that, right, whether it's the run checks, run to pass, pass to run, all that stuff that he does. He does a really good job with all of it. And then, you know, the consistency's been there. You know, he's completing the football the way we're asking to. We just got to, you know, nip those little turnovers in the bud. If he gets rid of those one or two plays a game, I think he's playing pretty strong football.
Well, Luke Getsy gave you everything there. I mean, I give credit when guys go to the microphone and tell you what's happening. They're not getting it done. He told you they could fix it, and that's how they're going to fix it. Let's see if he's right. All right, before we get out of here, tomorrow night I'm the MC for Food is Art over at the Stratosphere, which I get a chance to be a part of every year, and I'm really proud to be associated with this as they raise money for ALS. They have all of these amazing chefs in town coming to the Stratosphere, the pool. So that will be tomorrow night, and then I will slide immediately from there over to the Biletnikoff Crab Fest. There's a lot of Raider fans who are going to go. That's over at the Westgate. So Fred Biletnikoff, Angela Biletnikoff, tomorrow night, Westgate. A lot of people from the Raiders are going to be there. Hopefully you bought tickets for that. There's still a few left. Biletnikoff.org. Biletnikoff.org. Please make a donation, the silent auction, whatever you can do to help Fred and Angela. We would greatly appreciate that. Nash in Houston, wrap it up.
Hey, I appreciate it. I'll tell you, I didn't watch it with the coach's eyes, certainly, but watching the first half again, like Getsy just said, I still didn't have a great feeling in my stomach. I mean, I didn't think there was anything there that special. But, you know, your question was asking what we got to do to help Garden win, help the Raiders win. And so my first premise is we got to throw the ball probably about 40 times to do that. Because hopefully that's going to get us up to 70 plays in a
you
game.
Can't throw it. You can't throw it 40 times unless you pick up 10 first downs. Because if you go three and out throwing it 40 times, you're going to have a long day here. So we got to get first downs to throw it 40 times.
I'll agree. And here's my plan to get it. First of all, kind of like I'm not going to run on first down unless it's a first and five like they had like after that penalty. Not going to throw them first downs. Going to do a lot of two tight ends and do play action off of that and roll Garden out just so that he can hit the tight ends and, like your last guest said, hit Michael Mayer on some of these short passes. And then we're going to run a lot more three wide and four wide, and that's what we're going to run out of, the three and the four wide. And I want to see Brock Bowers line up in the backfield when we go three wide, because that's going to make the defense pause and say, are they going to run the ball with him? And I think it's a great thing to get him out on the flat, or even run a screen pass or two to him to really make the defense think. But that's when you're really going to take your shots down the field, when you're in three wide and four wide. And I also think you're going to be able to run out of that formation a lot better. It's going to make it a lot simpler for the linemen, because there's going to be a lot less people there. And then the last thing to me is somebody, you know, again, Devontae's a great player. He's an all-pro player, but he hasn't played like one. He's had more drops in this year than I can remember. And somebody's got to tell him, again, he's got to play like a all-pro player. Like
gotcha.
You said, fact, not fiction. He ain't playing that way.
Excellent phone call. Really detailed. Kind of what we were looking for today. Now, he said don't run it on first down. Well, that doesn't happen in the NFL. I'd like that. Hear what he said. Imagine if Luke Getsy, who listens to the show, I hope, if he heard that. Imagine Luke Getsy, who probably is not having lunch. He's working. He's driving around and hears the caller call in and say, hey, we're not going to run anymore. We're going to throw it every play. Well, the caller even said we're going to work off of play action. No, you're not. There's no such thing as play action if you don't run. If you don't run the ball, you can't do play action. So, but I like what he said, is that for this individual game, you got to come in and you have to do what you want to do. You have to come in and be super explosive early. Can you name a team in the NFL that has more at stake this week in a home game in front of their fans? You can't. You can't name a team in the NFL. The Giants are playing tonight. You know, the Giants opened up their season, Bobby. They had their 100th year anniversary and got blown out. They wore those weird uniforms. They brought out Lawrence Taylor, Phil Sims, Eli, and got destroyed. They owe their fans something tonight because the Cowboys own them. They've won 12 out of 13. You can't name me a fan base that put more into a home opener than the Raider fans and got less out of it. So that leads me to believe that Antonio Pierce has had a big week of getting in everybody's ear, and has told everybody it's go time, and you better show up. You better show up for that owner who's sitting up there in the booth with Marcus Allen and whoever's there, and you better show out for the fans, and I think they will. Raiders got a big opportunity to get to 2-2. We'll recap it tomorrow. Our Rich Gannon segment, which I love, that's tomorrow. And we got a couple of guests. Oh, Chris Matthew, the Dean of the Newsmen, will join us. Q's coming up next. Let's see what he has. It's always great. Big guests, big names. What's happening with UNLV football? What's happening with the Raiders? I'm going to be on a live stream at the top of next hour, 3 o'clock, with Damon Bruce as we both say goodbye to the Oakland Coliseum. Last game being played there. The Raiders are gone, and the A's finished today. Or maybe not. Tune in and find out on our YouTube channel. Have a great day, everyone.